Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa. KC got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We will get to the Falcons. I want to talk to a defensive back in the NFL, Brian McFadden, for many years about Isaiah Oliver and how quickly he's going to get it in gear. But first, some stories that are breaking. You may have already heard that Kent Bazemore is on his way to Portland. The story becomes official a little bit later, according to Chris Vivlamore from the AJC. Trade should be completed. Wojo from ESPN had it first. But it is Bazemore going to Portland and Evan Turner, the former Ohio State shooting guard who's had some ups and downs and has been all around last 3 years, some success with Portland going to the playoffs. But it's more about expiring contracts and freeing up some playing time for all our young studs who have been signed, Brian. That makes more sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Clearly didn't have any room for Bazemore. Hopefully, you know, he has a better opportunity out in Portland. And, you know, I don't know exactly what to expect with Turner. Positional-wise, you know, maybe he can find a fit somewhere who may knows when you're a small ball, maybe play power, small forward, whatever the case may be. But all in all, I think it's a pretty good trade for both teams.
He's about $600,000 less this year. These are his contracts at both ends at the end of this year. We picked up Crab, by the way. Is it Crabby or Crab? I'm calling him Crab.
Crab.
But Crab from actually from SpongeBob. Crabby is going to be there to help you get to the bottom, the bare minimum of your salary cap. Now, do they still want to try to plug in another free agent? Well, they've got some room to do that if they want, Brian. But good news is nothing against Baze. I think everyone loved Baze. He was just inconsistent. Baze is a guy that when he's on it, it's great. When he's not, he makes you want to pull your hair out.
And
you know,
looking at the money he was receiving,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't be inconsistent.
Ooh.
You know,
especially, and again, nothing against the dude, but now more time for all the guys that we've just added in this fantastic draft to get their minutes and do their thing.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we like to start the 5 o'clock hour and every hour of the show by saying,
hey
man. Very good.
Right,
Brian has been on money. You missed it earlier, guys. He gave a very high level, not a soprano, but a very high voice range.
It was tight. It was soprano?
It was tight. He went to he can give you the Carl headlines line, which is kind of cool. Carl's on vacation. So Brian is in. Let's talk some NFL, man, with the Falcons, brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Isaiah Oliver, we picked him up. He was too good to be passed over in the second round a year ago. And then he was pressed into service, and he struggled. I think sometimes some of the things in the way that Marquand Manuel used him is maybe why Marquand's not here anymore, and Dan is calling the defense. What do you think of Isaiah Oliver as a guy that came in the NFL, and you were pressed into service with the Steelers? How quickly and what should we expect from this guy making it happen?
Well, the biggest issue young players have, especially playing corner, is the above-the-shoulder game, the mental game. Athletically speaking, he has everything you would want from a corner. He's a six-footer, over 200 pounds. He can run. He's rangy. He loves to mix it up a little bit as far as tackling. Just knowing what to expect and how opposing teams may try to, target you. And that will come with experience. I think what we saw from Isaiah was a very, very small sample size, but played in 14 ball games, made 2 starts. But he found a way to be around the football, you know, and that's the most important thing you would like for your corner to have. Be ball aware. Find a way to get your hands on balls as far as PBUs, as far as interceptions. He had, one interception, 7 mm-hmm. PBUs. So looking at the opportunities, the lack thereof, for him to have his hands on, 8 possessions.
Right.
When you combine interceptions and PBUs, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean?
And by the way, the move on from Alford, I thought Alford, the high watermark for Robert Alford was the pick 6 against Tom Brady, and this guy was, you know, making plays. There's also times, it's funny because we finally get a chance to work together because I've asked you about this off the air. Trusting your technique. Alford was as fast as any receiver he had to cover, but it would seem like at the moment of truth, he would start flailing and grabbing, or am I overreading it?
No, you're dead on, but what people don't realize, when you're fast, and you know you're fast, sometimes you forget about the fundamentals. Most fast corners are not technicians. Most mid-level speed guys are usually the ones that are extremely good when it comes to their technique. Darrell Revis never was known to be a 4.2 or 4.3 type guy. You know, I think he ran high 4.3, but speed never was his best skill set,
right.
His patience at the line of scrimmage, his technique. And because of that, that's when you that's your go-to. Because 9 times out of 10, you're playing against a wide receiver that could run 4.3 at any given day. You know, there are not any Deshaun Tates out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got guys that can run.
And for those who don't know, that's our producer who ran a – well, it was 6-ish.
I'm sorry. Was that a
it
shot?
No. It was about – I mean, I had him on the 5.9, but I can't lie to you, Brian. When we did the 40-yard dash at Piedmont Park 2 weeks ago, I actually gave him 2 strides, and then I started my phone. You know, I started the stopwatch.
What?
So, yeah, I think the average was 6.3. I mean, it wasn't even a sub-4. It wasn't even in the neighborhood of a 4.6. Right, Squid? You had
a
6.3?
You started your clock after he ran, and he still ran a 6?
I like the guy. I've always had a soft spot for Deshaun. He works his butt off.
You don't like him too much if you put this out. You just put
He's even slower than we thought he was. I mean, I gave him a 5.9 with, like, two full yards of running. Also, the animal noises he made were right. Craig will get back.
You can't be that slow and you're 160 pounds.
And then sound like a female tennis player returning serves. If you missed that, we'll pull that audio for you. Brian is in today for Carl on our Falcon Report, brought to you by Domino's. Guys, don't forget there's so many great options for Domino's, including those mix and match, the $5.99. What do you like, the dessert? What do you want to get, the twisty breads, which I love? There's so many cool items right now. So go to Domino's.com. It's more than just pizza for $5.99. Some great things to fill your belly. Again, when you carry out, see some great deals at Domino's.com. DeMonte KZ, a guy that played corner
I love him.
In college and then plays safety, can
I
do it all.
Him.
He's a ball hawk, and we're going to see him a lot in nickel now.
I love him. I don't know exactly how this new role will fit what he does. One thing about Casey, just give him the ability to have free range. And what we saw when he was filling in because of the injuries at the safety spot, I mean, he was flowing to the football. And the thing that I love about him is something that could be, you know, a negative spot is that he only has one speed.
Which is 100%?
100%.
Right.
I mean, he's going all out at any given time, and he's so ball aware. I love his ball skills. I mean, he's one of my favorite defenders on the Falcons' defense. I loved him coming out of San Diego State because he was an interception machine coming out of college.
How is that guys just have a nose for the ball? Because like Trufant,
it's just an it factor.
Because Trufant's got family that played in the NFL. He's a solid athletic guy. We know that. But just for my liking, just didn't create enough picks. You know what I mean?
Some guys just have the it factor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And also going to catch the football when it hits
you know
in
what?
The hands.
In every profession, you know, it's not just about sports. You know, some guys just might not need to study a lot, and they can come and just ace a test. You know what I mean? Some guys might not need to prep a lot when it comes to doing radio, and they can just ace it. Yeah, just yours truly.
But why are you looking at me? I do prep. I don't show off with my prep.
You prep.
That's the sound of a man covering 40 yards in over 6 seconds. Wearing aqua socks on a wet grass field.
That doesn't even make any sense. Who coached him? Who trained him?
The first thing I said to him is, the first thing, have you stopped smoking for this week to at least try to get your cardio up? Just like a 2-pack-a-day guy. So for a lesson for you kids out there, if you want to sound like an old man at age 30, don't you be smoking. Take it from Uncle Mike. It is the Domino's Falcon Report with Brian McFadden here. So our secondary, should Falcon fans be concerned, especially as our pass rush, to be quite honest, doesn't really bring a lot of heat? We're going to be up by, like, scoring like 40 points a game, we're going to make
other
teams pass.
That would be ideal. I think most importantly for the secondary, health. Injuries. It's very, very difficult for you to really expect a level of consistency with role players filling in. Guys that are not supposed to be on the football field as much as they are. The two safety spots, Keanu Neal, who I love, Ricardo Allen, who I love also. The health with these two guys, because Ricardo is probably like the unsung hero.
General
in the
of
secondary.
The defense out there.
Yeah, he's like the traffic cop. He's the guy to get everybody lined up. He understands the concepts, the checks, and things like that. Or where will he be? And then the pass rush. That relationship goes hand in hand. If the pass rush is doing what they're supposed to do, that makes the guys in the secondary, their jobs easier. And if the guys in the front, they're not doing what they need to do, that puts more pressure on the secondary. So for me, it starts with the front. If the front can be very, very effective, then you will see success. Because one thing about putting pressure on quarterbacks, and this stat is usually tied hand in hand, when you have a lot of sacks, you usually have a lot of turnovers. Because quarterbacks do what? They either throw the ball when they're not ready to, or they're throwing to the wrong guy, or they're either getting hit with fumbles and things of that nature. So it's up to the pass rush to be able to generate and set the tone for this defense. And if the secondary is healthy, they're going to fly around.
It is Brian McFadden, guys. You're just tuning in. He's filling in for Carl for a couple of days with us today. Former Florida State Seminole, longtime NFL player. Two tours of duty with the Steelers, resulting in two Super Bowl rings. Where do you keep those rings, by the way? I mean, not if there's like a burglar case in your house, but I mean, like, you got them someplace safe. You ever wear? Yeah, you ever break them out?
I don't need to keep them in my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's in the bank then. Safe deposit box. Smart. Hey, speaking of fast and physical, Dan Quinn and Squidbilly brought this up in our Falcon report, saying that if you go up to Flowery Branch, we were just up there a few weeks back, there's run and hit plastered all over the wall. I mean, we've got there's footballs on a spring attached to like the cinder blocks. There's all sorts of things about, you know, it's the ball, it's about running and hitting. Everybody thought when Dan Quinn got here that our defenses were going to be like the Seahawks. They got to have Seahawk personnel, which is really good what they had in those Super Bowl runs. Mm-hmm. But what do you see when you look at our defense right now? I mean, can we get back to some of that, or is this one piece? Because again, pass rush has got to help. It's all interconnected. One's got to function, the other parts of the unit don't work.
Well, right now, the identity, they don't have an identity. You know what I mean? What is this defense? What do we believe this defense will be? What will they look like? We are waiting to see. You got a new play caller in Dan Quinn. Now, if we're going back to what he used to do in Seattle, we can kind of get an idea what the potential identity will be. But until you set and establish an identity, therefore, that will be the storyline from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. For us, our storyline, our identity was physical. Beat you up.
Right.
Beat you up.
And I think when the Steelers, you play for a team that has a heritage. Now, I know Cowher had come close and hadn't won, and then by the time you were perfect time in an 05, man, you're a rookie and you guys go all the way and you beat Seattle in the Super Bowl. But it just seems like some teams have that culture.
Yeah, it's a culture, and that's what they need to establish. Our main thing as far as personnel, as far as, you know, the football mind, we wanted big guys that ran like little guys and little guys that hit like big guys. That was the standard.
I mean, how do you win a Super Bowl? You got to have a guy like, again, a Richard Sherman in his prime, a Troy Polamalu, those kind of guys that make things happen.
You got to have tone setters. You got to have guys that are difference makers, but also two role players that embrace their role. So right now, I don't know exactly what this defense will be when it comes to identity, the DNA, but collectively, I think they have the personnel to be successful. Last year, injuries really killed their chances.
Right, because 17, the defense was great under Marquand Manuel, but our offense was totally out of whack, had some pieces on the offensive line that weren't up to snuff, and then we had a guy, unfortunately in the case of Steve Sarkisian, I mean, we weren't losing games because of him, but damn, you just weren't utilizing all your weight. We didn't take a brain surgeon to look at, you know, Matt, you took a guy that was an MVP, and it's almost like the offense went backwards in 17.
Yeah, it is, but I can say this, the offense won't be going backwards Mm-mm. this year. Boy, they got oof.
Yeah, man. This offense should be elite. You know, this division to me, it still goes through, you know, New Orleans and the Saints. And every time people start to write Drew Brees off, they still find a way. Now, granted, they haven't been able to finish the last two seasons.
Well, not solely their fault. I mean,
no,
they just kind of been on the bed.
No one's going
to the wrong end of a stick when it comes to luck, yo. Like, really?
Yeah, that NFC Championship game. I've been talking about that forever.
They missed their chance, though. I think right now teams are starting
Windows
to catch
closed.
Up. Yes, yes. The last 2 years, they could have easily represented the NFC in the Super Bowl. I mean, one bad play, the Hail Mary, and then the missed call. I mean, if you're a Saints fan, you got to be sick.
Totally.
You could have went to the Super Bowl two straight years.
I just wanted to see a better game last year. That was, I mean, we did everything right in this city. This city put on a fantastic show. Yeah. Weather was great. And the game sucked.
I love the game. I love these, like, old school just,
yeah, because you play defense.
Street fights. Yeah, yeah, you got. I love it.
But we talked about it in the NFL Blitz earlier. Still, no, Todd Gurley not 100%.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to me, and all, not having all the compliment of receivers, I'm not saying Cooper Kupp, but glue guys like that, they did not have the offense we saw the Rams playing with earlier in the season.
Not having Cooper Kupp really hurt them. The relationship with Goff and Kupp clearly, you know, it's an impactful relationship. And then not having your star player as healthy, you know, put some limitations on what they could do offensively. But, you know, this season will be excited. I'm excited for the Falcons. I've said, you know, time and time on air, they have the most talented offense in their division. They have one of the more talented offenses in the National Football League.
Brian McFadden is in today, guys. We're going to get his take all throughout the week on a lot of Falcon questions. You can also hit us up on Twitter and text questions for Brian, because I always love when we get an NFL guy, and like I do when I work with Randy Mack before he's gone to Randy and Andy, is to pick your brain. Because one of the things with Dan, and look, everyone who's a Falcon fan knows the work that Dan's done. We came up short in the Super Bowl, and can we ever get our heads right and get back to where we need to be? Does the message ever fall flat sometimes with players and coaches? Because as I said, you played for guys in Tomlin and Cowher that were kind of, you know, there's kind of like the hardcore kind of dudes. Everyone thinks these are the kind of guys people really want to play for in the NFL.
Yeah, but also, too, you know, these are guys that would not tolerate anything less than the standard. And if you were out there not doing what you're supposed to do, you're looking over your shoulder. Because now you know you're going to get jumped on from the head coach. And that was the standard. Walking into our building, you know, you instantly see all these Lombardis, and you know what we're chasing. You know, some teams don't have the same luxury.
Right.
And I think when you look at offseason goals, one thing I don't like about a lot of teams, our goal is to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, if you haven't been to the playoffs in 10 years, how can you just forget about getting to the playoffs and ultimately get into the Super Bowl?
Right.
Let's be realistic. You know what I mean? First, get into the tournament. Because when you get into the tournament, anything can happen. A lot of teams just bypass. Oh, forget about the playoffs. Well, you haven't been in 20 years. We're going to Super Bowl. That's our goal. No. Get to the tournament. And you know the best way to have a seat in the tournament? Win your division. That should be the biggest goal for every team, unless you're the Patriots.
Thank you. And as a season ticket holder, I appreciate that, because that means I get one more home game.
Yeah.
Get, you know, because that's
win
part
your
of
division.
It. Right.
Get into the tournament. Anything can happen.
B-Max with us, guys. We got big stories for you. The John Foy strong arm story. We got a trade with the Hawks, and we'll continue to break down the Braves. Camargo, I mean, unbelievably clutch. Conte thinks this division's already won. Some guys are saying tap the brakes on that, but the Braves are red hot. We're the most clutch team in baseball right now. Save the Dodgers. It's all on the way. The big 5 o'clock hour on Dukes and Bell. It is 92.9 The Game. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. We had some fun. Man, we had a big pool party in my building, man, on Saturday. And then there was, like, the remnants of the party, Brian. We had, like, all the inflatable stuff, like they had, you know, all this. It's a big party, so everyone's throwing down. So we had, like, a giant – somebody had, like, an inflatable unicorn thing. And the storm rolled in yesterday. We had a big lightning storm come through Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
And this video is going viral. I think it's got over, like, 50,000 hits. It came from our building, from our pools on the 7th floor.
Uh-huh.
And this thing got sucked up by the storm. Next thing you know, it's rolling down Peachtree. And there's a viral video of this unicorn, like,
really?
Floaty, basically in the crosswalk like a person. And a car comes. And just because the way the current was on the street, it was like a river. It stops, and the car stops, and it goes. But anyway, that's our building. We had a lot of inflatables, including me floating around like a manatee. But we survived and drank a lot of Hey Man, smoked a lot of cigars. And I shouldn't be doing that with the way my voice sounds, but again, I don't follow doctor's orders. Brian is in town, man. Yeah, BMAC lives here now in Metro Atlanta, Florida State stud, and then played for the Steelers. He's in for Carl for a couple of days, and it's really cool getting to pick his brain on the Falcon Report and on what's going down with the Hawks. Before we get to the big story, which is the Braves, we'll start off with today. We found out that Baze is on his way to Portland, and a lot of people are going, what's the deal? The Hawks' four highest-paid players next season, Evan Turner, Alan Crabb, Solomon Hill, and Miles Plumlee. So it's all about expiring contracts, clearing some space. But one thing for certain, nothing against Baze, but for slightly less money, mm-hmm. Evan Hill can watch the young guys develop, whereas Baze would probably, you know, had been in the way. I mean, I want to see the young guys get their minutes.
Yeah, and I don't question anything Travis and his staff, what they do. Whatever it is, they have a plan in place. They will execute this plan. And clearly, you know, when you look at what he's been able to do since, you know, being here in Atlanta, every move has been an A-plus move.
Yeah, if you go back to, you know, first off, the Luka Doncic-Trae Young story, and we talked about this earlier with Mike Conte. Whatever you think about how the trade went down, both teams can win a trade. Both teams are having success with their players. Trae's probably going to lose out to Luka in the Rookie of the Year tonight. By the way, you like Giannis for MVP?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah,
I think so, too. But that'll be all the hardware gets handed out. We got a young star. We got a guy that everybody's talking about. And now, at the end of the day, what does the trade equal? It equals Cam Reddish from Duke and Trae Young. And we've got DeAndre Hunter, one of the best young defenders, the guy with the limited risk once you got outside the top three picks.
I mean, the last two drafts, the Hawks have won tremendously. I mean, the only other team that won this past year's draft, the most recent draft, which was last week, would be the New Orleans Pelicans.
Right. Just by virtue of the luck of the draw.
Yeah.
You know, all the disappointment, we mentioned this earlier, guys. How many folks, you guys are hitting us up on the text line, you were tweeting at us, oh, Atlanta, Murphy's Law, we had better odds of getting the number one seed than the eighth seed, or vice versa, and then look how it turns out. Then it turns into this. Travis Schlenk made moves, took on some salary, we're going to get done with these guys after 1 year. We all said the same thing earlier for guys who missed it. Everybody loves Kent Baze, more likable guy. We had a chance to see him out at East Lake playing golf with us in the media tournament. But it just the inconsistency. Just there's times where Kent would just be so awful sometimes. You'd be pulling your hair out. And other nights where he couldn't miss.
Yeah, up and down, emotional roller coaster. And you can't be an emotional roller coaster when you get $19 million.
Right on.
Yeah.
Also today, Cam Reddish was introduced. Just real quick before we get to the Brave story, let me hear from Schlenk. Travis spoke to the media today down at State Farm Arena. He'll wear number 22. And here is, again, because of all the silly Byzantine NBA rules, we can't introduce the other guys yet because they're technically not Hawks. But Cam can, and here's Travis talking about him.
It's pretty obvious what attracted us to him, I think, right? When we talk about, or what I've talked about in the past, are guys that are multidimensional, multi-positional. Cam's ability to handle the ball, Cam's ability to create for other players and shoot the basketball on the offensive end. But also, I don't think that he got the credit he deserves defensively this year. You know, Cam's a very good defensive player, great anticipation, he uses length. So just all-around basketball skill.
Can't wait to see this guy in action. The only knock on him, and we talked earlier about it, Brian, is at times when Zion was out, people expected Cam to be, you know, a little more aggressive and take more shots. He had some good games. He also had some games where he kind of vanished at times for Duke this year.
Same can be said for R.J. Barrett, especially with the injury to Zion. Both guys had an opportunity to really, you know, put the team on their back. They didn't. They became very, very vulnerable to opposing teams, and we clearly saw, you know, who was the most impactful player, who clearly was the best player with Zion not being on the court.
Right. And also, guys, DeAndre Hunter, we talk so much about his defense.
I love him.
Guy scores a lot of points, too, man. I mean, he was really, really – go back and watch the national championship game and see that's one of our guys, man. Also, Bruno Fernando, not a lot of folks know about him, but he is a guy that was projected to be at the back end of the first round.
Yep.
And earlier in the year, there was some projections had him even higher. So we're able to get a physical guy who's got a high motor. Read all the things from the Washington paper about him. They say this guy's just what you need. Also played with Herter at Maryland, too, so there's some connection there. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the big story, though, brother, the Braves just keep on trucking.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
You ever been on a team, brother, whether it was high school or college or pro, where things just are rolling?
Oh, no question. You don't want to stop playing. And I wish the Braves could just keep playing because we know the All-Star break is coming up soon. And then, of course, you have a little break
right
away from this streak. But, you know, they're hot right now.
Everything's cooking. And a guy that we talked a lot about, Johan Camargo, has always been a real, like, Swiss Army knife for this Braves team. And we were thinking about, well, wow, you know, it's kind of a slow start for Donaldson. We could have just stuck Camargo there until Austin Riley got ready. And now Donaldson's raking. And then Camargo, when he's good to go, he does this.
And a high fly ball that's well hit deep right field. To the track goes Eaton, to the scoreboard, and it's gone! Pinch hit home run for Camargo!
In the top of the 10th, and then, of course, being our Braves bullpen, we had to get a little nervous, but we got through it. Braves, obviously, guys, are the hottest team in baseball. Record-wise, the Dodgers are the team we're going to have to maybe beat. We're going to see the Cubbies tonight as Julio Teheran goes up against John Lester. But let's see how the Bravos handle the friendly confines. Squid, is the wind blowing out? Find out for me. Hear more from Brian. That was a trick question. Who knows? Here's Snicker talking about how clutch and how ready Camargo is when he's called, Brian.
Number one, the kid's had a great attitude. I mean, he understands his role, and he's done a great job. He gives you a lot of versatility. I love having him on the bench because it allows you to do other things, knowing he's there. You know what I'm saying? He's had some really big pinch hits all through the course of the year. So it's a tough role for a young guy, and he's embraced it and done a great job and helped the club.
You think the division's won right now, man?
I'm not going to say it just yet.
Now, again, Mike Conte put this out on Twitter, and we love Mike Conte. He's the best in the business. Some guys took issue. I said, no, man, let's have the conversation. The thing for certain is Nationals were getting momentum, and you stopped it cold. Aside from Dallas,
yep.
Keuchel, and we'll hear from Dallas about his start coming up. But aside from Dallas struggling a little bit, Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Nats. You've already put a fork in the Phillies. You're in a great position now in this division. The Mets are imploding and self-destructing like only the Mets can, and I'm familiar with that. Let's hear from Mike Soroka. One of the drawbacks from this weekend, he gets plunked on a comebacker, mm-hmm. hits him on his right arm, which is his throwing arm. He's a right-hander, but he's a tough guy.
I mean, I knew I got it right in the flexors, and as soon as those tighten up, I mean, there's pretty much no chance of going out there throwing a baseball today. But good news is inflammation is going to get out of there and hopefully be online for next start.
Josh Tomlin, by the way, in relief, 4 strong innings. I don't know if Snicker didn't trust Tukey or whatever, but that was a great job. Certainly this Braves team, Bri, finds new and exciting ways to win each week. What do you think? Are you like me, though? Just go get a closer? I need to beef up the bullpen.
Go. Let's. No.
You can't do it now. You might have to wait till the deadline to get the deal.
Closer. I think so.
Right.
I think closer.
You got all the hitters. You got all the clutch, 1 through 8. The bullpen, I mean, Swarzak's a nice piece, but we still got to get the back end of this thing straightened out so we're not having a heart attack. Here's Dallas Keuchel. Made his Braves debut on Friday, wearing number 60. You're not a fan of the number?
No, I don't like 60.
Well, that's what he wore in the Astros. He,
yeah,
won, a
no,
super, just, he won a World Series with that.
Yeah, but just 60. Just yeah. Ugly.
Doesn't look pitcher-like? Okay. Here's Dallas on what he's got to change because obviously he got the ball up in the strike zone.
A few of the pitchers I'd like to have back are some of the first pitches of the at-bats, or first guys of the inning. That's something I can really indulge on here these next 4 days and try to get better, crisper with that. But other than that, I mean, just to continue to fill up the strike zone, I was attacking guys but also I got to read some swings and get better with that aspect. So hopefully the next time out we'll come out on the right side.
So the Bravos are in a great position right now in the NL. Right now they would be what, the 2 seed behind the Doyers. at 46-32, 6.5 games up on the Phillies, 8.5 on the Nats. See the Cubs tonight. Brian, the Cubs got off to a really slow start. Madden was kind of getting too cute with his pitchers. Mm-hmm. Took them a while to get some traction. That's what we're going to see tonight up in Chi-Town. Just, it's a great time to be an Atlanta sports fan. So many good things happening.
Yeah, United, the Hawks cashed in on their draft. You know, a lot of excitement with the Falcons and seeing what the Braves are doing right now. I mean, yes, extremely you know, an exciting time here in the city. I think most important for the Braves is let's go all in.
Right.
Let's make one more move.
You're the defending champs. You surprise everybody by pulling the trigger on Dallas Keuchel. Defending champs of the NL, of course. But we're not aiming, guys, just to win another division. Our sights are set on winning the NL, getting in the World Series. The reason I keep bringing up the Dodgers are they've been there, guys. They go to the playoffs every year. Right, you go back and look at it. This is the team which is going to be in the way for the Braves. So I'm not trying to be Debbie, you know, Downer. I'm just thinking strategically, man. Mm-hmm. Here's the guys you're going to have to beat, and you're going to see some of the guys you may have to beat tonight in Chicago. So let's see what they got. There's the John Foy, the strong arm story right here on 92.9 The Game. So you having fun yet, man?
Loving it.
You've missed it. This guy can hit a high range. So he can say, let's hit the headlines. He's also been able to handle.
I have to do headlines again?
No. Well, top three. There's another chance you can show your range.
Oh, we can't just replay my early. I think that was a. That was platinum.
Did you bag it, by the way, Craig? Because I know you. Oh yeah, we're gonna chop it up.
He bagged it. Yes, smart guy.
Randy Mack can hit the high range. My vocal range is all over the place right now because you know me. But you, sir, I'm very impressed on that first day. Florida State guy. You actually graduated though, right?
Yeah.
That's somebody did.
You didn't graduate?
No, I did not. I lasted about a semester and a half.
Streets got the best of you.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yes, they literally and figuratively did. Actually, the other, you know what got me was the girls on the other side of the tracks at FAMU. And that's what got me. Yes.
Hey, that great. Hey, Tennessee Street. Oh, man. Yep. It had a lot of parties on Tennessee mm-hmm. Street.
Yes, indeed. Just bartended Bullwinkles.
Oh,
he
was at Bullwinkles. Yes, yeah. Look at you.
Oh, you'd love me. I looked like Mark Gastineau's idiot love child. Had long hair, all roided out with a mustache. It was a good look. Of course, it was 1986.
Were you drinking or serving more beer?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Sounds about right.
Because Dion had Jerry Curl. It was a different time back then.
Oh, I know it was. You different guys didn't time. Have any rules.
Right. And by the way, Coach Bowden, how much fun you have playing for Coach Bowden?
Iconic guy. Legendary guy.
Mickey Andrews.
And Mickey Andrews. Got cursed out a lot from Mickey Andrews.
I got cursed out, too, by my dad. Yeah. Coach playing Little League. We'll come back. We got Mike Conte in case you missed it. Also, if you did miss our conversation earlier, we want to get into that Cam Newton situation. Would you give up $1,500? For your seat. But it's a really good seat. It's all coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
The busiest man in the business, Mike Conte, is with us for another In Case You Missed It. Real quick, just want to clarify something I screwed up earlier. We were doing the big story, talking about the Braves. I said Soroka got hit with a comebacker. As Mike just mentioned, he was hit by pitch by Austin Voth from the Phillies. Got him on the arm and waiting to see if he's going to be okay for the next start. And there you go.
You know, Kent Bazemore, this trade today to the Portland Trail Blazers, and it's still reported by ESPN. The clubs haven't confirmed it. I do want to say really quickly, Kent Bazemore has been absolutely one of the nicest guys to deal with in Atlanta sports
over
the last couple of years. A really, really nice guy. And someone actually tweeted me a story. Daniel Weiss says that a couple years ago, he was in the grocery store wearing a Hawks shirt, and he passed Kent Bazemore in the grocery store. He says he had headphones in, and he wasn't trying to bug him, but Bazemore noticed him. He took his headphones out, came to the other end of the aisle to thank him for his support being a Hawks fan. And knowing Kent Bazemore, that just absolutely does not surprise me at all. I played in his Uno tournament a couple times. Really nice guy.
Uno? Uno, the card game?
The card game.
You pretty good?
No. I was always out very early. But the problem was, you know, in that Uno tournament, I hope it continues here in Atlanta, by the way. He's got a foundation. But the thing is, the more people you play with, and I want to say there were like 10 to a table, the more people you play with, you're only going to get like 4 or 5 cards. Yeah. And if you don't get a wild or a draw two,
you're done.
You are cooked.
It's 10 people to a table?
I think it was, if I remember
correctly. Because I used to beat my grandmother playing Uno all the time as a kid, but you got the full deck to go
through. It's one-on-one, right. and you go through the full deck. The fewer people you have, the longer the game goes.
Yeah, it can be long.
You know, but, like, shoot, like, there was a little girl next to me who kept giving me draw twos, and then my wife was on my left, and she kept skipping me. Like, you're done. You are done. Because someone else is going to be out of cards in, like, 3 turns.
Right.
So
I hear the frustration.
The hors d'oeuvres were outstanding.
Okay,
and we really mentioned Mike, it was worth it.
I don't know if you heard the story because you were out of town with the vacay, but at the golf tournament for East Lake, they had these old drivers. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about this? So they had drivers from the Bobby Jones era, from 19-teens in the 20s, and everybody got a chance to hit one of these suckers, you know, the persimmon wood and all that with the old ball. And we got a chance on the, I guess it's now 15, the water hole. And Bay's got a chance to do that, and he grounded the club and he broke it.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh.
And Squid, I believe they said it was priceless, right? There was not even a monetary value on it. And Bayes was cool about it.
It's like the Seinfeld episode when it was John F. Kennedy's golf clubs
right.
that got ruined.
But Bayes has always been great. Just to echo your sentiments, he's always been great with his time with us. Good dude. So wish him well. He's friends with Steph Curry. He'll get a chance to play the Warriors more often.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people are wondering why the Hawks did this.
Why did they do that?
Well, I mean, look at Evan Turner was a point guard in Philadelphia when Lloyd Pierce was with Philly. The Hawks really don't have a backup point guard right now. The Hawks have a ton of wing players. Portland does not necessarily have a ton of wing players. So the Hawks are trying to make room for Reddish and Hunter and Herter to be able to play. Bazemore was probably going to see his playing time reduced here. Now he gets to go play for a playoff contender. It's a good deal all around. Just a quick editorial comment. Kent Bazemore, after he signed his deal 3 summers ago, and it was a big money deal. Mm-hmm. And I'll remind people that Bazemore took less money to stay in Atlanta than what the Lakers and Rockets offered him. But he took a big money deal, and he had moments where he really struggled. I was very disappointed to see the way that he was treated in this town. I think a lot of people were not very supportive of Kent Bazemore.
When he signed the deal?
After he signed the deal and started to, in some people's opinion, underperform to the level of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Kent struggled. I mean, I'll concede that. But I was disappointed to see how unsupportive a lot of people were in this town for Kent Bazemore. I know we're in the society right now, especially with social media, where we just want to kill everyone.
Right.
You know, sometimes it takes a pat on the back, not a kick on the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Kent Bazemore deserved a little bit better from a lot of fans in this town. But I, like I said, good dude. Wish him nothing but the best, and hopefully it works out for him in Portland. Now, kind of along these lines, we had this incident Friday morning on WBZ-FM in Boston.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, Kyrie Irving, the Celtics, everyone's leaving. Okay, Al Horford's leaving. Sounds like Kyrie is leaving. Everyone wants out of Boston. And the midday show, that show with Scott Zolak on 98.5 in Boston, gets a call from a guy claiming to be Mikey and Waltham, who has an opinion on the situation with Kyrie Irving.
Let's go to Mikey and Waltham. Mikey.
Hey, so I was just calling in saying that with such a rare talent like Kyrie, it's such a shame that the fans didn't welcome him in more. Towns like those are so rare, they don't come by fast, and I think it serves us right that now he's gone, and look at what we're left with.
Does that voice sound familiar to you?
Brian McFadden, does that sound like Kyrie Irving to you?
Listen, I hope it's not Kyrie. Please, 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 please.
It's not confirmed.
It sounds
like him a lot bit.
I'm trying to give him a benefit of that.
We had this, Mike, we had this audio on Friday. I wasn't sure because the problem is when you compare and contrast to other audio, so crisp of Kyrie. You think it's him?
Yes, I do.
I
do think it's him. I do. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't
we
know.
Would never, we would
it
never
is interesting to point out that Waltham is the town in which the Celtics training facility was located until very recently.
Interesting.
So think about this, though, Mike. Would he be in Boston right now? Off-season, vacation.
Could be packing up his condo. Yeah. I don't know.
But guys, as we now know with Durant, some guys do the burner phone. The president has been accused of being his own publicist and doing interviews where he speaks as another person. So I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. Craig, you got the other audio to compare and contrast the Kyrie?
Let's do that.
Now, hold on. Because you don't listen necessarily for what the voice sounds like. Because you're talking about a guy on a telephone. I'm assuming you're going to use a clip of someone on an open mic, not over the telephone. Mm-hmm. It's more the speech pattern,
right? The
diction, like it's that.
What do you think? You think it's him?
Yes, I do. I do think it's him.
Yeah, we have the other.
with such a rare talent like Kyrie.
And then you start figuring out what is important to you off the floor.
It's such a shame that the fans didn't welcome him in more.
It'll be an unbelievable experience for something new.
Talents like those are so rare, they don't come by fast. I think it serves us right that now he's gone and look at what we're left with.
Not only to us as individuals, but us as a collective group and a team.
You know what, Mike? I'm starting to come around because Friday we didn't have the slice and dice like that. That's interesting.
Him. That is him. I'm if it's not, I apologize, but it sounds a lot like him.
I hope it's not him.
Well, I mean,
but
look.
Guys do it. We just talked about this generation, man.
Man, you can't be a superstar player calling to a radio station talking about the fans should have welcomed him better than what they did. Oh, so that's the reason why you're leaving, because of the fans?
Well, he is. You know, he's a bit sensitive, brother. He's a bit sensitive.
There is.
Remember,
that
he kissed and made up with LeBron earlier this year. Maybe he is going to L.A. and he blames Boston.
Man,
what was the line, Mike, earlier this year with Boston? That was so inflammatory. No, by Kyrie, didn't he? Like, he said something specific about. I'll find it for you.
Yeah, not sure. By the way, congratulations, Sean McVay. Got engaged over the weekend to his very lovely fiance.
Why did you put very?
Because she is extremely lovely. she is a Ukrainian model, Veronica. And apparently, Sean McVay, who's an Atlanta native, proposed to her while they were on vacation on the French Riviera.
Nice.
They started dating in 2011 when she was going to George Mason in Virginia, and Sean was an assistant coach with the Washington Redskins. They own a home together in L.A., and now they're going to get married. So congratulations, Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Some guys have all the luck.
Man, that girl's a knockout. That woman, you know, I mean, when I saw, the real sports interview they did on HBO, she is a knockout.
No, she's beautiful.
But, I mean, what would you expect, though, right?
I mean, he's a good-looking dude. He went to Marist, by the way. He's a local connection.
In L.A.
No.
You know, with a four.
Well, that's why everybody wants a guy that looks like him to coach now. That's why you noticed everybody went from Matt LaFleur to any. I mean, there's been a lot of coaches hired in this offseason. Cliff Kingsbury's the poster child, right?
Really no qualifications to be an NFL head coach whatsoever.
You know, James Franklin. You guys heard about James Franklin?
What about him?
The head coach of Penn State.
What about him?
Basically, he goes by saying, any coach on this coaching staff, if you don't have a pretty wife, I can't hire you. Because if you can't recruit a pretty girl to be your wife, you can't recruit a student, a high school player.
Line from Moneyball, remember? Remember the scene in Moneyball? They're talking about a hitter back in the movie, and he says, I don't know about that kid. He's got an ugly girlfriend. He's got no confidence.
Well, James Franklin has only had about 12 incoming seniors decommit from him in the last couple of weeks.
You're touching a nerve.
No, I'm serious. So you might want to, you know, I mean, just look at the mirror a little bit before, philosophizing about his assistant coach.
That's what he had. That's what, like, was his slogan before the whole transfer portal.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
I mean.
No, the one I was thinking about, Mike, was back in the playoffs. He goes after the game 4 loss. He goes 19 for 62 from the floor. Mm-hmm. And I go, who cares? For me, the 22 shots, should have shot 30.
That was Kyrie.
That was Kyrie.
Then he called the
Mike, it wasn't Kyrie.
This is Kyrie. This is Jimmy from Walmart.
It wasn't Kyrie.
Telling you, man, the KD thing with the burner phone was so bizarre.
Kyrie did not call. He's not even in Boston.
I put nothing past any athletes these days, man. Sensitive. Everybody's in their bag. Hey, man, Brian McCann. That second time, it's $2. $2 fine.
$2.
Brian McFadden's in here today, guys, talking about the headlines. Can he do the top three the way he gave us the headlines? Can he show you the vocal range of Randy McMichael? Let's find out.
The pressure's on.
Let's hit some headlines.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.